I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. So start getting your best night's sleep in sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. And you can try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee, plus 15% off your first order with code BUTTERY. So head to bollandbranch.com today. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Finding your perfect home was hard, but thanks to Burrow, furnishing it has never been easier. Burrow's easy-to-assemble modular sofas and sectionals are made from premium, durable materials, including stain and scratch-resistant fabrics. So they're not just comfortable and stylish, they're built to last. Plus, every single Burrow order ships free right to your door. Right now, get 15% off your first order at burrow.com/ACAST. That's 15% off at burrow.com/ACAST.
Hello there. You're listening to Flop Culture. This is a podcast all about flops, the good, the bad, the ugly, everything in between. I'm your host, Fionnuala. I hope you're well. I hope you enjoyed last week's episode on The Amazing Spider-Man 2 with John Spillane. My spidey senses are tingling, which means it must be time for some news. Billie Eilish is back. We're getting a brand new album next month. Hit Me Hard and Soft is coming out on May 17th. She added all of her followers and her close friends to promote the news and gained 8 million followers by doing so, which is nuts considering she's already probably one of the most followed people on Instagram. I think she's hundreds of millions of followers as it is. This album, she is saying, should be listened to chronologically, which... not to shit on Billie's parade, I'm pretty sure that's how most artists intend their records to be listened to. I could be wrong there. Says the title hits you hard and soft both lyrically and sonically while bending genres and defining trends along the way. No singles coming with this. We do have the track list, which Rolling Stone seemingly leaked potentially. She was very cross with them on social media about the track list coming out in this way. It's another collaboration with her brother Phineas. We are going to have no music next year, girls. We've already had, obviously, Ariana, which we've talked about on Patreon. Beyonce, which we've talked about on Patreon. We've got Taylor coming out in a week, a little bit over a week, which we will be talking about on Patreon. And now this album, like there's no music coming out next year. It's crazy, 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 crazy. I will say, I did not listen to Happier Than Ever, I think, in full. So if that's an album that you think I should revisit, please let me know. She is approaching this album cycle a little bit differently as well. She is very known for advocating for environmental causes, and she's previously spoken out against the practice that artists do of having loads of different vinyl variants, right? Because ultimately, vinyl is plastic, right? But there's this resurgence in vinyl sales, vinyl collectors, you know. It's a way that artists can make more money because obviously, number one, like the margins are higher on vinyl, shall we say, and there's a more collectible aspect to it as opposed to like streaming a song or simply buying a song or even with a CD. You know, you can do way more different things with the cover. The vinyl itself can be a different color. They can come in different inserts, specific tracks, whatever. She's spoken out about this practice before. Very recently, she was speaking to Billboard about it. And she said, I can't even express to you how wasteful it is. I find it really frustrating as somebody who goes out of my way to be sustainable and do the best that I can and try to involve everybody in my team in being sustainable. And then it's some of the biggest artists in the world making 40 different vinyl packages that have a different unique thing just to keep you buying more. Now, she admitted in a later statement, because she had to go out and clarify that she wasn't singling out any artist, because obviously, you hear a statement like that, you think, oh yeah, Taylor Swift, because Taylor Swift does this. Now, I will argue, every artist does this, but I think Taylor Swift is seen as maybe potentially one of the worst, because if you consider even the Midnight's album cycle, there were a couple of different album covers, and if you put them all together, it made a clock, right? Crazy. So she came out herself and said, look, this is a practice that I do. I wasn't singling out anyone. With this album, she's limiting the number of vinyl record variants to 8, which, I'm going to be honest, still seems like too much, but I digress. The standard black variant vinyl, if you're buying it, is made from 100% recycled materials, and the rest use EcoMix or BioVinyl, which is basically a process of making vinyl that doesn't use harmfully environmental like gases and stuff like that. It's used with like excess product, so like vegetable oil or like excess gases from things. It's kind of a complicated process. But I don't know, very interested to hear what you're expecting from this Billie record. We're obviously coming off the back of the hugely successful Oscar campaign, Barbie stuff. What is she going to do on this? We're not getting any singles. Do we think that's a good idea? Do we think that's a bad idea? What do you think of the vinyl conversation? Let me know. I'd be very interested to hear. It's flopculture_pod. And of course, I love emails. Send me an email, helloflopculture@gmail.com. Okay, with all that said, let's get into our flop this week. Brooklyn Beckham was born on March 4th, 1999, to two very famous parents, David and Victoria Beckham. Not sure if you know them. On screen and off, we've watched him grow and attempt to navigate the transition from child star to adult, with his career trajectory serving as a microcosm of the broader debate surrounding nepotism in the entertainment industry. While his journey exemplifies the advantages afforded by privilege, it also underscores the complexities of navigating fame and forging one's identity in the shadow of a family as famous as the Beckhams. Joining me to discuss Brooklyn Beckham's career thus far is writer and author Justin Myers. Enjoy. Justin Myers, you are so welcome to Flop Culture. How are you doing?
I'm well, thank you. How are you?
I'm good. I'm excited to get into what you picked. What did you pick for anyone that's listening?
I picked Brooklyn Beckham and his attempts at a career since becoming of age. Since coming of age, I suppose you could say. Yeah.
Yeah, that's for sure. Are you a Posh Spice fan, Spice Girls fan, or how did you become aware of Brooklyn Beckham? Did you know him on his own? Are you a Brooklyn stan, or was it always Vicky B and David B?
Do they exist, Brooklyn stans?
Maybe they show do. Yourselves if you,
his,
if
I'm
you
sure
do.
His wife loves him very much.
Yeah, true.
How did I become aware of Brooklyn? I couldn't not become aware of Brooklyn because he has basically been famous since he was a fetus. I remember, you know, the Spice Girls were huge when I was about 20. They exploded onto the pop scene, as people are fond of saying. And when Victoria became pregnant with Brooklyn, it was front page news. Everything about Brooklyn has been front page news since conception. Even his name, the announcement of his first name, and even why he got that first name, which is because he was conceived in Brooklyn. Ugh, too much information. That's such a late 90s thing to reveal, isn't it?
And in the ether forevermore. Like, it's beyond.
They think? You know, so his parents were two of the most famous people in the country. Journalists doorstepped the hospital where he was born. His father came outside like a prince and announced the birth. He was basically groomed for stardom since before he could talk. So I have been aware of Brooklyn Beckham mostly against my will for all of his 24 years.
Yeah, when I was Googling him, obviously, prior to this episode, and, you know, it comes up in the, you know, the small bio where it's like age, whatever, born, wherever, and like seeing 24, I was like, oh my God, I'm about to be very mean to a child on a podcast. I was just like, forget how young he is, because it just feels like, as you said, he's been omnipresent since, as you said, conception, because the fanaticism around David Beckham and Victoria as a couple was just beyond. Like, they were, especially as they continue to have children, they were one of the last, like,
monoculture celebrity couples where it was like people really cared when they got married and every child, like everyone was like, what are they naming it? What are they doing? It's interesting to see people still invested because I don't think it really happens for celebrity couples now to that level.
No, I don't think so either. I don't think it's possible for it to be so concentrated these days because we have so many couples who are kind of like that. You know, I suppose the nearest you could say is Taylor Swift and Travis, maybe at the moment. But I don't know if I really want to get into Taylor Swift here, but that's probably not going to be forever. And I think once that's over, Travis will just go back to whatever corner of celebrity he previously inhabited and Taylor will carry on. Whereas with David and Victoria, they've been linked together for so long. They are the same person, really. You don't ever get a mention of one without the other. You know, they're the cheese and toast of celebrity culture. And I suppose I must stress, actually, I'm not necessarily going to be mean about Brooklyn.
Okay, you could be the nice one. You'll be good cop, I'll be bad cop.
But I feel for Brooklyn in a way because the way he was kind of launched into the celebrity circuit was a very, like you say, you don't get that anymore because celebrities like that don't really exist anymore. It was a very late 90s way of having a baby if you're famous. And it kind of foreshadowed our own social media announcements in a way, you know, the whole thing about the name and coming out of the hospital. And other than kids born to maybe the Royals or the Jaggers, I don't remember children's births making headlines like Brooklyn did. I mean, he overshadowed because Mel B was pregnant at exactly the same time. I think she announced first. And then even Brooklyn's, you know, the pregnancy of Brooklyn overshadowed that completely. So he's just always been there. You know, he was being dragged onto football pitches at cup finals and onto stages. He was on red carpets. His mum and dad did reality shows. And even now they're still involving them in their lives. There's that documentary on Netflix recently and Brooklyn was in it. Even the archive footage of him crying in distress. I remember that in Spain, I think it was when the paparazzi were all around the car trying to get their lenses in, you know, through the window. And he was being comforted by his parents and he's like a tiny child. So none of this is Brooklyn's fault is what I'm saying before we go in and like rip him apart.
Absolutely.
This is not Brooklyn's fault. And yeah. I do feel a bit sorry for him in that he is at least trying to make his way and forge a path for himself. The difference is there have been a few minions who've gone ahead of him with this path and made sure that it's not too rocky and that there's decent lighting and somewhere for him to stop for a snack. He's not exactly beating a path himself.
Yeah. That's not his fault. He had initially, I think he, interestingly enough, he kind of had a normal, quote unquote, normal job initially at 15. He was working in a coffee shop in West London. He started playing in the Arsenal FC Academy, which I think nearly all of the Beckham children have had a go at some point. He left in 2015 after not receiving a scholarship. Modelling is, I suppose, what kind of, if you haven't been keeping up with the Brooklyn Beckham of it all, shall we say, I'd say most people remember him from the modelling or like him having a go at that. And that seemed like, and still seems like a job, a nepotism child job where people are like, yeah, that's fine. You can do that. That's fine.
I mean, I think the kind of modelling that he did is not the kind of modelling that models scrabbling their way to the top of their profession do. You know, he turned up for shoots. That is not the same as, you know, going to a casting or having to really watch what you eat. You know, all the stuff that I follow a couple of models on TikTok because they're quite funny. Callum Harper, I think, is one of them. And, you know, they go through a lot and a lot of it is rejection and a lot of travel and living out of suitcases and eating crap and never having any free time or having too much free time. And I don't get the feeling that Brooklyn was ever a model in that sense. He went to photo shoots and someone took a picture of him.
Yeah. And look, you have to consider the fact that Victoria Beckham, obviously fashion muse person in her own right, probably was there to open doors. You look at some of the things that he did or where he appeared, you're talking in editorials on covers for the likes of Vogue China, Miss Vogue, Interview, New York Times Style Magazine, Dazed Korea, shot by people like Bruce Weber, Terry Richardson, problematic, but anyway, Daniel Jackson, Alistair McLellan. Like, the names were there, but I wonder if he'd just kept trucking on at that. I don't know. Like, we're obviously going to get into the fact that he's changed careers a lot, and it's just that he's publicly kind of failed at a lot of them. And I'm wondering if it's just, is it the changing of careers, or is it the careers he's going for as a child of nepotism? What do you think?
I think that is why he gets a lot of criticism. These are highly desirable jobs that ordinary people want. And the kind of people who have always been successful at modelling are the ones, you know, the ones that the public tends to take to their hearts are the ones that are discovered or they've worked very hard. You know, Naomi Campbell walking down the high road in Streatham, Kate Moss, I think, being stopped outside Topshop. You know, these are the stories we connect to. We don't connect to a very privileged and, how can I put this without sounding exactly like it's going to sound? He doesn't look like the models I see in campaigns, Brooklyn Beckham, and didn't at the time. I'm not saying he's ugly. He just didn't look like a model. So, you know, he was driven to the shoot probably by his mum. All these huge names were getting involved either to get access to his mum or because of who his mum was. You know, Bruce Weber photographing somebody very early in their career. I can think of a few people who it's happened to, and they all have famous parents. You know, Kaya Gerber is another one, Cindy Crawford's daughter. And she at least has kind of model. She looks like a model. I mean, she looks like Cindy Crawford, who is a model, so that helps. I think it's the kind of career that he is going for that makes people a bit cool on him, I think, because we'd all love to be. Obviously, I wouldn't love to be a model. I have mirrors, but we would all like the presumed glamour that we think goes with that job. And that's, maybe that's what it is. Maybe it's that all the jobs he's chosen are fairly glamorous and we don't think he should have that glamour because he already has it in his day-to-day life because Victoria Beckham is his mum. There's glamour from the moment he opens his eyes to the moment he closes them. So it's not like he's been wrenched from some miserable life and, you know, fed into this world of amazing opulence where everyone is falling at his feet and pronouncing him the next big thing. It's just, he turns up at stuff.
But then the counter argument then is, as you've said, it's not his fault. He's born to two of the most famous people in the world. Can he really keep up the job in the coffee shop without presumably all this press invasion and this fascination around the fact? In some ways, I'm like, can you win as a nepotism child? Because it's like, if you just want to go off and work as a barista, you're going to have stupid publications being like, Victoria and David Beckham's child working at a coffee shop, who'd have thunk? You know what I mean? Like, I feel like it's a bit of a, maybe a double-edged sword isn't the right word, but hopefully you know what I mean. Like, you just can't win. It seems like an impossible battle.
You can't win. And his parents have to answer for this, for making him so in the public eye for the first 16 years of his life. I think if you think about Tom Cruise's and Nicole Kidman's children that they had together, they're not really in the news that much until they do something odd. Like, I know that his, Tom Cruise's daughter now lives in Croydon or something.
Does she? That,
yeah.
Oh my God.
Yeah, she does. And has done for a long time. So, you know, that's slightly interesting. But we did never really heard anything about them because they didn't, because Tom and Nicole didn't really put them front and centre. So really David and Victoria are to blame for this, for keeping him in the news cycle. But no, you're right. Can they win? Probably not, unless they go and do something worthy, you know, medical profession, science. What else is worthy? I don't know, working in a charity shop. I reckon, you know, if he'd worked in a charity shop, I don't think people would have been annoyed. But probably because we look down on people who work in coffee shops, incorrectly, of course, we shouldn't do that. But we think of it as a job for a school leaver who's probably not going to do anything else, or it's just earning pin money while their real life takes off. So no, if he'd worked in Starbucks all his life, then probably would be, but no one would still be interested in him, would they? He does court publicity. You know, he accepts lucrative sponsorship deals. He released that book.
Let's talk about the book.
Yeah, we can get there if you want.
So he aims for photography next, right? Which is the modeling he's maybe still kind of doing, but it's 2016. He's kind of taken up the photography a little bit more. He's photographing a campaign for Burberry, I think Burberry Brit. And there was, this was huge uproar. This was before we had the like vernacular for nipple babies. This was a, like, people were mad about this. It was Chris Floyd. He said the decision to employ Beckham, he called it a devaluation of photography, sheer nepotism. John Garrigan, another fashion photographer, called it an example of a bit of injustice in a lot of areas of the industry. Like, this is, so this is even pre-book. Like, people are already kind of a bit, why are you, people are definitely more vocal about the fact that it's okay, you got this job because of reasons that we know why, but nobody's saying out loud. And you're doing it and you're getting this amazing opportunity. And quite honestly, you're also a child. So what's going on there, you know?
Yeah. It felt like, it felt like there was a PR campaign in motion to start the beginning of his adult career, and to make him into a celebrity, like in his own right, escaping his parents' shadow. And that's when the book came. It felt like to me actually that the book came from nowhere. I didn't follow him on socials or anything.
No, neither did I. I think it got a kind of set. So it came out in 2017, but I think it got a second wind during COVID because obviously people were like sitting at home, desperate for joy. And then someone remembered, oh my God, do you remember Brooklyn Beckham did a photography book? Will we go back to that? It was 2017 and he had said he was going to pursue a photography degree at Parsons School of Design at the New School in New York. He didn't end up finishing his first year, but then later on that year ended up publishing the photography book called What I See, June 2017. Critical reactions were negative, to say the least.
That's a very diplomatic way of saying scathing.
Talk to me about the book. What does the book feature? Like, why did it go viral?
Well, we need to talk about the elephant. There's an elephant. The elephant is not even in the room. It's everywhere. And the main image that went viral from Brooklyn's book, which was called brilliantly What I See, which it may have well be called Things That Happen To Be In Front Of Me, which I take a picture of before doing something else. It was a photograph of an elephant, I'm assuming on location where an elephant would normally live as opposed to a zoo.
Mm.
And the elephant was completely in shadow. You could see the, I want to say Serengeti, but that's probably not right. Wherever it was, in brilliant sunshine behind it, some kind of savanna behind the elephant. And then the elephant's unmistakable silhouette, and then captioned, incredible to see, but so hard to photograph. Now, I'm torn between remembering that Brooklyn was very young when he wrote these captions, but also being an author, I know that this book would have been through editors and that no one said in a meeting, even if he wasn't there, said, look, we are throwing this child to the lions if we let this book come out with these very simplistic captions. I mean, just the captions are worse than the photography in a way because they are obviously, they're just texts.
Mm.
It's they're not even Instagram captions. I take longer to write Instagram captions than I think that book took to write entirely.
Mm.
And it was a bad photograph, for one. Two, elephants, as we have seen through numerous National Geographic spreads, not difficult to photograph. They're quite easy. They are very large and they tend to stand in wide open spaces, sometimes more than one at a time. So you can, if you have light, you can photograph them. I don't know what Beckham was. Was he in a jeep? I don't know where did he photograph the elephant from, actually? No one's asked this question. What was he in? Was he in a hideout thing? Why was, I don't know what's going on. I don't know where, to which corner of the safari he had lured this elephant, but he'd somehow managed to find no light in a place where it's sunny 364 days of the year.
It is, you make such a good point about the fact that there were other eyes on this, or there should have been, like there was a team, you know what I mean? Like there was a team working on this. He was, and I know he was obviously signed and it was obviously going to be published because of his name and all of that jazz, but That's a point where I'm like, yeah, that was kind of like, surely someone should have intervened there and said, there's another picture. I think it's of, I got this from an Amazon review, but it's, and again, it's the caption kind of makes it worse because the caption is, I like this picture. It's out of focus, but you can tell there's a lot going on. And the photo is just a blurred photo taken inside a restaurant, just this dingy kind of restaurant, you know?
Could be anywhere.
Could be anywhere. But why wasn't someone like, babe, maybe not this one. Or maybe we won't do the captions. We'll just let people interpret, you know?
Like, you can tell there's a lot going on. You can't. You can tell that someone's bumped into you when they were walking past you as you're trying to take this picture. That's what you can tell. I mean, but it made me wonder, because he did get into a very prestigious design school to do that photography course.
Mm.
Now, how did he get on that course? I can only assume that he earned his place, that they saw an example of his work and let him on. I would hope so. However, coincidentally, it's $23,000 a term.
Interesting.
Who do we know who has $23,000 to hand over every 6 months?
Mm. Oh, my God.
Ooh. So I don't want to get sued by the design school, but, you know, you have to wonder. And the thing about nepotism, isn't it, is that it's not always about the finished products. It's about how this stuff starts. And so everything about that book project felt to me like someone from a publishing house was at a thing with Victoria Beckham or David and got to talking about the children. And one of them said, oh, Brooklyn's really into photography at the moment, which a lot of 16, 17-year-olds are, obviously. They're discovering a new perception of the world or whatever, however you want to put it. And so obviously the publishing house person has said, oh, we should do a book. That's how it's happened, you know. And I can tell you, that never happened to me. I was never standing in a room with anyone and said, and listened to me being funny for 2 minutes and said I should get a book deal. That did not happen. So I think that's where a lot of the annoyance about Nepo babies comes from, is that it all feels like it's happening in rooms where we can never get in. You know, locked doors and whispered conversations and, you know, sneaky emails and stuff. There's something very sneaky about it. And I wonder how Griffey students must have felt, especially when he quit that course after a year, after the book had come out, and then got an internship with Ranking.
I did not know this. And when I learned this, I was, again, for anyone unfamiliar, like, Ranking is like one of the most established, well-respected photographers, has photographed anyone essentially, like, extremely revered. 3 month internship there after this. I'm pretty sure it's after the flop book as well. You know, it's just like, what a totally frustrating trajectory, as you said, for anyone who is genuinely considers it a vocation and really wants to, but just does not have the same access that.
Because we need to be honest about internships. They are not for anyone. They're not affordable for anyone unless they have their family supporting them. You know, when I first moved to London a long time ago, I worked for free for 3 weeks and it nearly killed me. And I could only do that because my boyfriend paid the rent that month. And then I had to leave because I couldn't do it anymore because I had to pay him back. I had to get a real job. So for Brooklyn to spend 3 months being an intern with Ranking, it rankles. Even I'm not a photography person, even I'm a bit annoyed by it. You know, especially when evidence of his limited talents in this arena were out there already. You know, the book, Ranking must have seen that book. So how did he get that internship? Maybe Ranking saw something. I don't know. It saw something. Maybe Ranking could see the other.
Maybe he saw something that Brooklyn couldn't through his eyes or viewfinder.
Yeah. But again, to bring it back to not being a, you know, not just being a nonstop drag of Brooklyn. If I was offered that internship, I can't really take pictures. But if I was offered that internship, I'd take it.
Oh, absolutely same. And I think, look, in some ways, we talk about this book being a flop or whatever. Can you really call something a flop when it's given people so much joy? And the one thing I will say about him is, from watching interviews and stuff like that, I do think he approaches everything with such a level of earnestness that I can't really fault that about him. Like, I do think he is genuinely interested in things, and then maybe the interest doesn't continue, whatever, but I do think there is a genuine passion there initially for things. It's just, does it sustain? Maybe not.
Yeah, I agree. He's very difficult to dislike. There's nothing malevolent about him, I don't think. But it's like, you know, I am mildly interested in my daffodils coming up every spring, but I do not think that now I should be a gardener, you know, and I'm not pursuing landscape gardening opportunities in elite places because I quite like how the plants look on my balcony. And I think that's the difference, isn't it, with the privileged lot, is that any interest can immediately become an option, a career option. And I mean immediately. You know, Brooklyn took a few nice photographs. All of a sudden there's a book. He's at Parsons School of Design in New York City, which he leaves after a year because he was homesick, which is a perfectly valid reason to drop out of university, yeah. To be honest. Lots of people do.
Absolutely.
And then gets an internship with one of the most famous photographers on actual earth. You know, it's not the same, is it, as someone else, very talented, who is from a poorer family, not even necessarily a poorer family, but someone with no connections, because connections are very hard to make unless they already exist, you know, and a lack of connections or a lack of favours you can call on can really restrict you, no matter how talented you are. You have to be seen to be discovered. And the way of getting seen is to be in the right room. And, you know, that's what this is all about. But you can't get in these rooms.
Yeah.
That's the problem.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Then the photography kind of goes to bed for a while, whatever. He's, you know, the public persona, maybe not out there as much. 2021 then, he decides he's going to try and become a chef. He loves cooking. He spends quarantine cooking.
Yeah.
He gets an online video series. It's called Cooking with Brooklyn, which I have to admire the name, if nothing else. But again, it's all these really front-facing opportunities where he's kind of showing his passion for food and cooking and everything else. But again, you're having the people watching from the sidelines be like, what am I watching here? This man cannot cook, essentially.
He can't. I mean, like most of us in lockdown, you know, who didn't have to go out and save lives or, you know, do essential jobs, he got bored out of his head.
Yep.
Fair enough. The only difference was he was bored in a huge mansion that was being paid for by somebody else.
Yep.
With everything around him that he could possibly want. And he channeled that energy into cooking, which is very, that's fine.
Yeah, absolutely, yeah.
And he started getting into it. So his wife, then fiance Nicola, I'm sure we'll come to her later, she started filming him and that's all fine. And, you know, we all asked about a bit in lockdown if we weren't doing anything more important. But it's then that thinking, oh, this should go online. It's that thought process. This could be something.
Other people should definitely see this.
People are interested in me. I should go in front of a camera and make a sandwich. And this is the thing, is I do think a lot of fascination with Brooklyn Beckham is actually nothing to do with him.
Okay.
That's why he's the ultimate Nepo baby, because it's still the interest about his parents. And we want to look behind the scenes of what's really happening with that family. You know, because David and Victoria don't really give interviews anymore and haven't done for quite a long time. Their media is very controlled now. And so the only one who's offering anything is Brooklyn, who cannot walk past a front-facing camera without turning it on and gurning in front of it. So I think we have to acknowledge that just because a lot of people are watching what you do, it does not mean that you are good at it. And I think his cooking career has been interesting because it's it's been quite exposing. And you have to wonder whether the people who are commissioning these videos, all the major magazines have commissioned at least one video of Brooklyn Beckham doing something, cooking, even if he's not, cooking. He's
talking about food. Yeah.
And you have to wonder whether that's been done in the right spirit, or whether it's just been being done because it will get views.
Yeah, I actually think you're dead right.
Joke, yeah, basically.
I don't think so. I don't think with the cooking. Oh, that makes me sad now. Yeah, I don't think so.
And, you know, there was that viral video of him being stopped by the TikToker who was really into cars. Was it Daniel Mack? Did you see this?
I don't think so, no.
Okay, so there's a TikToker called Daniel Mack who hangs out by, you know, really exclusive places in LA and waits for the beautiful cars. He's like a car nut, and waits for the beautiful sports cars to come out of venues like nice restaurants. And he stops the car and asks them what they do for a living. You know, how can you afford this car? And of course, Brooklyn got stopped in his, I don't know what kind of car it is. I want to say Lamborghini. It's like a car out of a film.
Okay.
It's not a car that a human should be driving, really.
Yeah.
It's Terminator's car.
Yeah.
And he was stopped in it. The guy obviously didn't recognise Brooklyn Beckham because, you know, he's probably not in that world. And he said, you know, what do you do for a living? And Brooklyn said, I'm a chef. So suggesting that he had been able to, possibly not knowing what the guy was asking him for. I think the guy did say, you know, how can you afford a car like this? And the guy said, and Brooklyn said, I'm a chef. Is that how you can afford the car? I'm not sure. It's not, is it? Basically. And he was derided for saying that he was a chef when all evidence to the contrary was all over his social media channels. Now, I suppose through sheer will, or just because the public seemed to want it, he does find himself as a chef. And I wouldn't say his cuisine is to my taste. In fact, it's quite hard to see what corner of the market he's trying to dominate there. But he has somehow managed to secure very lucrative sponsorship deals with an extremely high-end air fryer brand. And he even launched his own menu on Uber Eats a few weeks ago, which was a huge publicity campaign and predictably was absolutely slaughtered by every food critic and even people who weren't food critics. Because, you know, and you have to wonder to what extent is he being set up there by Uber Eats? Because, you know, Brooklyn isn't sitting in some dark kitchen in Peckham cooking up this menu. He is just the face of it. And you have to ask why have they put him in that position? Because the people who line up to criticize him, they really have gained his celebrity, because it's so easy to criticize Brooklyn Beckham.
Yeah.
You know, it's like it feeds itself. You know, the snake is eating itself, isn't it? So people know that as soon as Brooklyn Beckham puts out a new piece of content or is featured on something, that there will be comments about it. It will get into the papers because of who his parents are. You can't really slate David and Victoria because they have been phenomenally successful in their fields, whatever you think about the quality of their work or, you know, they have been phenomenally successful. You know, their wealth and enduring popularity speaks for itself. Brooklyn, however, he hasn't earned it and he hasn't made a success of anything. You know, his most popular dish in the Uber Eats menu was a sandwich, I think a bacon sandwich.
Classic.
I mean, a classic. But it's hard to be bad at a bacon sandwich, isn't it? Mine are great.
Yeah.
Where is my Uber Eats deal is what I'm asking. And I think actually one of the first things he cooked in public that was not on his own channel was on this Today show, from what I can remember, and it was indeed a sandwich with a fry up ingredient.
Yes, yeah, it was like a full English kind of sandwich vibe, and yeah,
didn't actually cook anything. He just assembled it from
It was food Jenga. Like, we were watching food Jenga, and everyone was like, "Oh!" and all sort of oohing and aahing over him. But it goes back again to that. Like that again. Didn't realize this, but that Cooking with Brooklyn series. Apparently, again, there was uproar when it was revealed that there was this massive team, which, again, now that I'm reading this out loud, I'm like, I'm not really sure if all of this criticism is valid. But anyway, So there's apparently, it's a team of 62 people, to 62 professionals to put together the video series, and each episode costs like 100K to make, right? That's probably where the issue lies. I wouldn't say necessarily where people are being like, it takes that many people to make a TV show and he's claiming to be the chef, blah, blah. It takes a lot of people to make TV, all right? I know, whatever. The money aspect, absolutely, but you can't expect Brooklyn to make the whole thing himself. You know what I mean? God bless him. No way, like.
No, this is not, I mean, this is not, he doesn't have his phone on a tripod and, you know, he's not standing in his kitchen editing this himself and adding his own Canva captions, is he?
No. And,
but, you know, no more than Nigella films her show herself. Another Nepo baby, really, you could say.
Is she a Nepo baby?
Her dad was Chancellor of the Exchequer.
This has been such an illuminating conversation for me.
Nigel Lawson, yeah.
Yeah. Well, there you go.
I mean, you know, he wasn't a chef, obviously, but he was rich and well-known. But she has, but you could argue, has earned her success since in her own right because she's very intelligent, very, I think that this is the key, isn't it? I think if you're going to get away with being a Nepo baby, you have to be good at it.
Yeah.
We will let you off if A, we like you or your parents, and B, you are actually good at what you do. So you can walk the walk and talk as well as talk the talk. And with Brooklyn so far, not really. I think the one good thing he's been good at is he's quite a good wife guy.
Let's talk about the wife guy. Let's talk about the wife. Let's talk about Nicola Pils-Beckham. But do you think she's helping or hindering him in terms of public perception, celebrity, like what we can expect from him in the future?
Well, I am tempted to say it's a bit of both because they did a lot of, around the time of their wedding, they did quite a few, again, just this content gets commissioned. People are putting them in rooms.
And, yeah. And we should say as well, sorry, she's a Nepo baby in and of itself. He's something to do with movies or something. Extremely wealthy, like extremely, extremely wealthy, well-connected. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, these people have just never known no. They've never known no. They've never known not having something.
Mm.
You know, they never went through the Argos catalog circling Mr. Frosty machines.
Oh.
Expensive Lego.
Yeah.
Or that strange toy that you put 2 pence in and it spat out mini dairy milks. They've never done that.
I always wanted one of them and I never got one.
No, of course you didn't because your parents... like my parents will have realised that once the chocolate's gone, that's it.
Yeah, true, yeah.
But, so I reckon the Beckhams all had one each, if not two.
Just mansions full of discarded wrappers and the machines. Obsessed.
And that's another thing that annoys us. You know, it's not enough that they already have everything. They want to be admired and respected as well.
Yeah.
Can't you just go off and be rich somewhere? So fair play to them for not. Anyway, Nicola. So yeah, they've done quite a lot of content together. And I would say, I'm trying to be kind. They're well suited.
Mm-hmm.
They are well suited. There's something quite innocent and sweet about them. I watched a very long video about them talking about their bedtime routine, which involves an insane number of layers on the bed because she gets cold. Like, it sounds like she goes to bed in puffer jackets. Anyway, and then and then Brooklyn's always too hot. So there's like this very cute, endless, I mean, I could just feel my skin drying out and wrinkles forming as I was watching this, endless routine at night to get them to bed. And then he cooked for her. I don't know if you saw that video, but there was a
is this the cheese wheel where he cooks in? Yeah, that's, but again, Justin, he's so nice. He's so, and all the comments, all the YouTube comments are like, Victoria's raised him right, it's great to see a child with manners. I'm like, okay, but is the bar so low that we're okay, and what, like, you know what I mean? It's crazy.
The bar is low, isn't it, for celebrity children, because we expect all celebrities to be horrible.
Mm.
He's a very polite young man, and I can only imagine that half of his day is probably taken up by holding doors open for people. However, he did cook a very dairy-heavy meal for his wife, who seems to be lactose intolerant and popped lactose intolerant medication between courses. But why she might be a hindrance is possibly something that happened in the last couple of weeks, actually, where she revealed that in a film she was making, she's an actor, and in the film she was making, they were wanted to give Brooklyn a cameo and unfortunately had to cut him out of it. He ended up on the cutting room floor because he kept looking at the camera, one. Oh, Brooklyn, I'm really sorry. I have a feeling you are going to listen to this.
And, I'm sorry.
And he couldn't say hi in an American accent. You know, I'm trying hard to root for this guy.
Which, look, accents are hard. Accents are hard.
Yes. He did spend a lot of time in America and his wife's American, but yes, accents are hard.
Sorry, I forgot she's American.
She's American. And the camera thing, I kind of understand, because anyone who's been on TV will tell you that those things move fast and they're always moving. And it's like trying not to look at a wasp that's dive bombing you. But I reckon after a few takes, you would probably understand, especially if your only job is to say hi, you would get it and you would keep your head still and not look into the camera. But apparently take upon take, and he just couldn't do it. So she's kind of hindering there by revealing that. But he made a birthday cake for her, I think, recently, and everyone was gushing on the internet about what a great guy he was. But it feels like it's a bit like, I don't know, congratulating someone who's very bad at something for their effort, I suppose. You know, that trophy culture that weird right-wingers always bang on about. Feels like it's alive and well with Brooklyn Beckham. Maybe because we feel a bit sorry for him, you know, because it's not his fault. At 24, I kind of graduated just before I was 24, and I did not have a clue what I was going to do with my life. You know, I just hadn't worked anything out, and I got a job in a call center, you know, and I didn't want to do that. And I did a lot of writing for free on the side of my full-time job to get my first writing job. I think it was 5 years before I got my first writing job. But the problem is that most people don't have that time to figure themselves out with a strong financial backing like Brooklyn has. You know, the ability to kind of try on these careers like their hats and then discard them when they don't work out, like going to uni for a year and then, you know, maybe I'll upload some stuff to YouTube and see what happens. That's just not available to anyone else. But what I do like about Brooklyn, and we touched on it earlier, is that he just keeps going no matter what, you know. If I read even two or three of the things that are written about him, about, you know, about me, or if I listened, if this podcast was about me and people talked about some of the absolute rubbish that I've written in previous years, I would want to crawl up inside that elephant and live there and never come out again. He just keeps going. He has a doggedness about him that I respect. And he's obviously a very sweet person. And I'm sure the nights fly by in his family home with the just nonstop erudite wit. But it's, I don't know, you know, for all his kind of spoiled dynasty, nepo baby billionaire vibe, you know, I'm sure they're very nice people. But I suppose all we want from any nepo baby is a kind of acknowledgement that it is the parents that have helped them get where they are today, rather than some kind of ethereal magic that us mere mortals can only imagine, that we would never understand, because the nepo babies like to pretend that it would have happened anyway, or that it's just luck, or that it's about being in the right place at the right time. But the whole point is that the right time was the time of your birth to these rich parents, and the right place was growing up in your parents' lovely home. And you are able to get into these rooms that we'll never go into purely because of who you are. So you do have to acknowledge that. Not that that would be enough to silence the critics, but you need to be good at it as well. So maybe try that too.
Yeah. And yeah, I will say as well, the amount of shit that I have done, tried, failed at job-wise, hobby-wise, and I have had the privilege to do so privately, thank God, that's something that he does not have, again, because he's, as points we've already mentioned, he's born to two of the most famous people in the world. He's the eldest. I wonder how much that plays into it, because he was the first they obviously have three other kids, Cruz, Romeo and Harper. One of them is a footballer. The other one, I think, is kind of modeling slash doing kind of art things. Harper, still too young to kind of really be doing anything that we're not. Yeah, that we're not. But I wonder, is it just because he was first as well? Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, I would worry for Harper, actually, because she's a, you know, she's a girl. So the press will be even more vicious. So I worry about her when she's older. Hopefully, I'm sure David and Victoria have learned by now. She's been kept out of the spotlight, actually, hasn't she, compared to the boys, I think.
Because I even remember the narrative around when Victoria had Harper, and it was like, and it's that fucking thing that people do to all women, not even just famous women, where it's like, she finally got the girl she wanted, yes, the girl. So I'd say they're like, no, Harper, stay inside, bye-bye. We need to learn now.
Inside. Yeah, she kind of disappeared. You know, they managed to keep themselves to themselves, I think. Yeah, so hopefully, I do think that maybe there was a lot of pressure on Brooklyn. But that said, there was never any pressure for him to go in front of a camera.
Yeah.
And he does pursue that.
Yeah.
No, there's a lot of pressure on everyone. And yeah, there are many, many famous people's children who do not put themselves in front of a camera. And yet he, you know, his first thought when he showed his interest in cooking was to get it out there, broadcast it. Right. And, you know, his interest in photography became a book. I would have said yes to all these opportunities without the amount of money that's flying around, obviously. But it's the fact that maybe that he doesn't need that money. I think he does it for himself, for his own validation. I wonder, earning his own money is probably very important to him. But is he really earning it?
The eternal question.
Eternal question.
Yeah. What would you like to see him do, if anything? Like, say he doesn't stick with the cooking, which I actually truly hope he does. If that's making him happy and he's stuck at it for this long, I'm like, fair enough. But say he goes into his next act as Brooklyn Beckham and is like, I want to try something else. I'm going to do something else. What would you like to see him do?
It's non-public facing.
Can be, yeah. It can be. If you want him to, I go to ground, that's also an acceptable answer. Because in some ways, I think that's what I want. I'd like him to go to his private island with all his money with Nicola and just let them have a laugh themselves, you know?
Yeah, I mean, he has said his ambitions are to open a restaurant and to launch his own cookware range, which feels like the weirdest ambition ever to me. It's weird.
It's a bit weird.
Your ambition is to get a deal to launch your own cookware range,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
You know, no one sat and thought, I mean, apart from proper chefs, dare I say, you know, Angela Hartnett and Jamie Oliver, whatever, you know, you can think, oh, I've never had the decent, proper decent pan at all. I've always wished that I had this amazing skillet. I'm sure they do think that. I just do not imagine that Brooklyn has sat around thinking, if only I had the perfect Bain Marie dish. Where are the Brooklyn Beckham ramekins? If only I had the perfect barbecue. No. It's not a proper ambition. What do I wish he would do next? Maybe just went away for a while, pursued something valuable, not just to him, but maybe to the world. He's got a lot of money and he does have an audience, whether we like it or not. Maybe if he wants to pursue the cooking thing, he could, you know, try and get younger people into either healthy eating or encouraging them to cook. He might do this already. I don't watch his show. You know, it's something that maybe there's a responsibility on children of rich parents where we feel they should be doing this kind of thing. It's almost like a pseudo-political angle. But you know, the stuff that that Marcus Rashford
yes.
doing.
Yeah.
Why can't he do something like that?
Yeah.
You know, I mean, Marcus Rashford brings out books and stuff and they're great. But, you know, he used his celebrity for good. Why not do that?
Yeah.
Otherwise, what's the point in having it? It's just to get sponsorship deals for air fryers. Fine. But then I think if you are putting yourself out there and using your celebrity for monetary gain and monetary gain that doesn't feel like it's got any value, you're not really creating anything and you're not having a positive impact, particularly on the world, then you should expect people to hold you to account for it. that's how it works. You put your art out into the world and it will be critiqued unless, and even if probably it has some kind of some worth or value to it. And I don't see it in Brooklyn.
I loved the charity shop idea you floated earlier as well. If he just kind of was like, yeah, I'm all about the charity shops now. Let's circular fashion, secondhand fashion. We love it, girls. Look what I got down in the charity shop.
Oh, I mean, the clothing range for him. Can't be far away.
Yeah, imminent. Oh, Chef's he's definitely going to do aprons. Yeah, Chef's Whites. Imminent.
Chef's Whites, aprons, oven gloves.
But they're not going to be white. He's going to do like a thing where it's like, I never really understood why they were white. So now they're going to be magenta and we're all going to be
they'll
like,
they'll be the
Woo!
Same pink as that football team of his dad's. Doesn't his dad's football team wear pink?
Yes, yeah.
It'll be that as a tie-in because it's Brand Beckham.
Yeah.
Perfect. Victoria is taking notes as we speak, I'm sure.
I was about to say, call us, guys. We're here.
You know, consultation at a reasonable rate.
Yeah.
But he's definitely he's definitely not the worst Nepo baby around, you know, we have to say that. And
okay, who is the worst? Who's your best? Who's your top Nepo baby and your least favourite Nepo baby?
Oh, I do feel bad. I do feel bad, but I don't know if you've been watching the the relaunch of Gladiators.
I watched one episode for our work thing and didn't continue, but I know exactly who you're about to say. Yeah.
I'm really sorry, but the show is presented by Bradley Walsh, seasoned presenter. I mean, I think his outgoing voicemail response just says yes. Bradley Walsh and his son, Barnaby.
Yeah.
His son, Barnaby. Now, Barnaby is an actor who appears in Casualty, and he came to fame when he did one of those travel documentaries with his dad. And safe to say, if I could be diplomatic about it, he is somewhat out of his comfort zone presenting Gladiators, mainly because he's a very slight young man. I mean, he looks young. He looks like he should be at school.
Mm.
And he's very slight. So next to these hulking balls of sinew, he just looks like a little leaf. And he's not a natural presenter, in my opinion. And I can't help but think that there should be either a sports person there. Why isn't one woman presenting it? You know, I could cast that show a million times over and never arrive at that combination of Bradley Walsh, who's, you know, a great presenter, but Gladiators, really. And then his son, it stinks, really. And again, it's not his fault because he will have been made the offer. And he said, yeah. Mm. Is this what we expect Nepo babies to do? Say no.
Good question.
I liked the quote from Lottie Moss last year. Are you aware of Lottie Moss?
Of course I'm aware of Lottie Moss. Yeah, absolutely.
Lottie Moss is Kate Moss's half-sister. And she is, I think she's well known for being a model.
Mm.
And she said, I wrote it down for you. When the Nepo baby discourse was taking off, really taking off last year, she said, obviously it's not fair that people who come from famous families are getting a leg up because of that. But guess what? Life isn't fair.
I mean, talk about it's making like the point and also missing the point. Story. Like, yeah, just... You were there and then you just did a big, like, you just, you were touching distance. Touching distance, Lottie. Touching distance.
Like a literal bollock hair away.
Oh.
Never mind. And then we had Bryce Dallas Howard this week talking about her grandmother had said to her early in her career that it takes the average actor 64 auditions before they get the role. Did you see this interview?
And, no, I don't think so.
Right. It's really, I think it just went out the other day. And Bryce said, you know, and that really kept her going. It took her over 40 to get her breakthrough role. And I was like, Bryce Dallas Howard. Isn't that? Anyway, yeah. Her first four movies were Ron Howard Productions. So how many they turn her down for a role? You know, I don't think people would mind so much about Nepo babies if they stopped resisting so hard to the obviousness of how they got their place. There was Dakota Johnson, who's having quite a time of it at the moment because she's promoting that film, that Madam Web, which is being panned by just about everybody who even walked past a poster. And she was saying that, oh, it's really boring now talking about Nepo babies. Her mother is Melanie Griffith and her grandmother is Tippi Hedren, you know, the most famous Hitchcock blonde of all. So it's very easy for you to say, oh, it's annoying and boring, just so lame, and let the work speak for itself. And she does laugh at herself. But, you know, I mean, I don't even need to say it anymore. You know, come on, please. Just admit, you know, there is a way to answer this criticism, I think. Why can I think of it and I have no famous connections whatsoever? You know, my mum worked in a market stall selling fruit and veg, and my dad was a gardener for the council. You know, how come I can think of the right answer, which is, you know, I was so lucky, it got me in the room, and I had to work really hard since then to prove myself, and I'm just trying my best. You know, I put myself under a great amount of pressure, you know, to do my best. Who's advising these people? It's really easy to talk about this subject in a way that doesn't make you sound like a defensive asshole. But all of them are failing miserably at it. In fact, Brooklyn, by not addressing it at all and just ploughing on, is probably the most honest Nepo baby of them all. He doesn't, because he knows it doesn't need to be said that he, how he got where he is. You know, it's, my name is Beckham. That's why I'm here.
There you go. I couldn't have said it better myself. I couldn't have said it better myself. Justin, what a pleasure it has been. Can you talk to me a little bit about Leading Man? You have a book out this year.
Ah, oh, I do. Leading Man is out this May. And it is a book about, well, you know, we've all been, or most of us, actually, no Nepo babies have ever been the third wheel in any friendship group. So this is about the opposite of a Nepo baby. This is about a guy who has lived in the shadows of his two best friends for years. He kind of keeps his problems to himself and likes not being in the spotlight and likes not being the topic of conversation or, you know, the center of gossip. He's one of those people who, you know, we all look back at our lives and imagine that it's just really boring, so there's no point really looking into it any deeper. He's kind of that kind of, oh, I've just lived a really boring life. But when you find out more about his story, it turns out that a lot of has happened to him that he is internalizing. And so basically what happens is he gets a new boss at work, and an old flame comes back into his life, and suddenly he's not an also-ran anymore. He's very much in the spotlight and is struggling to cope with being the center of attention. He's the leading man at last, and he's not sure how to deal with it. Sounds very serious. It's a comedy, by the way.
That is so exciting. I'm going to leave the link to pre-order that in the show notes, because pre-orders are very important for authors. I always say that. Where else can people find you beyond your books?
I am on most of the socials as The Guyliner, for very boring reasons. And I have a Substack, like everybody. It's called The Truth About Everything. And you can find that at theguyliner.substack.com.
Justin, an absolute pleasure. You'll have to come back, because you had a lot of other flaps to discuss. So yes, you're more than welcome at any point to return to Flap Culture. Justin Myers, thank you so much for talking to me on Flap Culture.
Thank you very much.
A big thank you to Justin Myers. I'm going to leave all of his links in the show notes. Please go pre-order and buy Leading Man. It's out on May 9th. His new book. Very excited for that. And also, if you want to subscribe to his newsletter, I'm also going to leave that in the show notes. And should I mention, he's going to Greece 2 live on Sunday. I'm so jealous, and I hope he gives me a full debrief. If you haven't listened to that episode of The American Lyset, go back and listen. Greece 2. Better than Greece 1, I think. Anyway, let's stop talking about stage shows and let's get back to nepotism, shall we, for Top of the Flops.
You're a flop. Flop.
God, I'm not sure who is top of the flops in this situation, but I don't know if anyone's been following Aoki Simmons, daughter of Kamoralee Simmons and Russell Simmons. Russell, kind of disgraced music legend. Kamoralee, model. People, if you were of my age, potentially, you will have potentially watched Kimora Life in the Fab Lane, which was a reality show that documented her life, her starting Baby Fat, having her own career, her marriage to Russell, and their subsequent children that they had, including Aoki, right? So the last week-ish or so, all anyone's been talking about with regards to Aoki is the fact that she was seen basically lobbing the gob on this restaurateur, Vittorio Asaf. What's significant about this, I hear you ask? Aoki, 21 years of age. Vittorio, how old is he? Do you want to hazard a guess? Did you say 65? Then you were right. Insane. They were seen on this trip together in St. Bart's and they're just flat out smooching. And sure, of course, then this sets the internet absolutely ablaze as to what the hell is going on. Why are they together? Then you get this confirmation that, you know, they are together, they are dating. You've sources from Aoki's camp telling publications that, yeah, they are dating. Fair enough. These photos come out, you know, you have the social media, trial by social media, people getting very angry at Aoki, being like very misogynistic towards her, criticizing the relationship more generally and broadly. Her mom, Kimora, instead of, I don't know, ringing her, texting her, gets on Instagram stories, decides to put up a video of a mother panda pulling away her baby cub with her teeth with the caption, "On my last nerve right now." Posts that, again, instead of, as I said, ringing the child up, why don't you just call Taylor up? Doesn't ring Aoki, whatever. You have Russell, who, again, I will say, is currently hiding out in Bali because he's had all these historical allegations of sexual abuse leveled at him. And he's like, peace out, I'm going to stay here, maybe just not acknowledge that at all. He's coming out and he's like saying that he gives his blessing. He has this unconditional love for her, which is this kind of directly opposite response to the fact that himself and Aoki are estranged anyway. Like, she's had to come out and say that, you know, he's been abusive towards her and stuff like that. It's all very dark. It's all very grim. Now, apparently, Aoki and your man are dushed. They are broken up. You're seeing other headlines and other sources that it was like they were never together. Dumois is running this thing that it was like they were never exclusive. Vittorio is flat out texting other dolls in St. Bart's, which, I mean, come collect your dad. Get on the yacht and come collect your dad for the love and honor of God. I mean, I don't know. It's just... And like... I wonder if I'm part of the problem here. As we talk about nepotism, I admitted to, like, the only reason I'm interested in these girls is because I watched them on Kimora's reality show, which she chose to have them on. Am I continuing to perpetuate the cycle? I don't know. Is there something like wider going on here? Is it a yachting thing? If you're not familiar with yachting, it's like this practice. There's a really good piece by Amy Beecham in Stylist that talks about it. Like, yachting is this kind of, if you're to believe this, okay, it's a big open secret in Hollywood, you know, of A-listers and other kind of people, models, actors, royalty, you know, they're paid to spend time and be pictured with like wealthy clients, often on board mega yachts. So I'm wondering, is this something to do with this? And like, you're listening to that and you're like, that just sounds grand. The issue with yachting is then it becomes like this blurry line of what is sex work, what is not. It's not great. It's all not great. I'm also just wondering, because I've been following Aoki for a while and she's another one who, she got into it like a very good college and kind of, she's talked about nepotism before in a way that I felt was like, not the worst. Like, she seems like quite self-aware and quite smart. So I'm wondering if this was just like a sugar daddy thing and she was like letting on that they were dating and it was just kind of like wink, wink, nudge, nudge. And then the press obviously ran with this and it was, or she didn't mean to get caught out. I don't know. But anyway, Aoki's not top of the flops. Aoki, get your bag, girl, whatever you're doing. You want to get with old men, whatever. I believe in women having agency. But you know what I also believe in? Old men leaving women who are 44 years younger than them. The fuck alone. Go. What are you doing? You've nothing to talk to her about. What are you talking to her about? Aoki's probably still on Snapchat. What are you talking to her about? Get real. Get real, Vittorio, you big loser. Anyway, that went somewhere that I kind of wasn't expecting to. Thank you for listening. So appreciated. Much appreciated. We're on Patreon, as I mentioned. Lots of bonus episodes there. We had a few new people signing up. They wanted to hear all about the Cowboy Carter debrief. So hello to Sydney. Hello to Ginny. Hello to Louise. Hello to Dara. Hello to Kevin Mack. Maybe I called out some of those people already, but I'm happy to have you over on Patreon. It's patreon.com/flopculture. We will be covering Taylor's tortured poets Club Society Lounge and Bed Bath & Beyond on Patreon if you want to hear about that. That's where you'll get it. At least 3 bonus episodes a month. We're on social media, @flopculture_pod. Come join us over there. We'll have fun. We will have fun. Wherever you're listening, I would love your ratings. It helps people find the podcast. Hugely appreciated. A reminder, if you want to watch video episodes of this podcast, some of them are available to watch on YouTube. Just look me up. It's Fionnuala J. This has been Flop Culture. This has been edited, as always, by the wonderful Adam Shanahan. I will see you next week. Bye-bye.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Kayla Itzinas.
I'm Kayla Itzinas, and I have been training a global community of women since 2009. I've created a brand new podcast, Sweat Daily, to help you level up your life and reach your health and well-being goals. From fitness tips to food that fuels you, meditation to motivation, we've got you covered. Sweat Daily, the happiest, healthiest, and most confident version of you awaits. Available on Apple Podcasts and wherever you get your podcasts.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.